Well, looks like we're all right if Miss Sharon quit singing. Looks like Miss Stephanie gonna take her place. Very good. Excellent job. Galatians chapter 1. Thank y'all for the music. Appreciate our singers and our musicians. We're blessed. Amen. And Galatians chapter 1, I know pastor's preaching on the book of Galatians, and when he asked me a week ago to preach, I'd already kind of set out that I was going to preach on the book of Galatians, and I asked him, I said, is that all right? I don't want to trample on his preaching on the book of Galatians, but I think we're going to be all right, because I'm going to be in chapter 1. He's going to be in the latter part of the book, and chapters 5 and 6 are more of the practical part. Chapters 1 and 2 are more of the personal, and then you got doctrine in between there, and so dealing with the book of Galatians. We'll read the first 9 verses tonight, and we'll get into the message here in a little bit. Verse 1 says, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead. He states his apostleship, and I know Pastor went over this some, is that Paul was reassuring them of his apostleship, that he was not called by man, he was not called by the church at Jerusalem to be an apostle. A lot of people think that's what happened, that he was called from the church there in Jerusalem to be an apostle. That's not true. He was not called an apostle there. Jesus Christ called him an apostle. And only Jesus Christ could do that. And so he was sent from God to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so he's reaffirming here to the Galatians that of his apostleship. Verse 2 says, and all the brethren which are with me unto the churches. Now notice what he says. The churches, not a church, but the churches of Galatia. All right, we'll look at those here in a little bit. Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins. Now notice what he says here. He says that he might deliver us from this present evil world. By the way, Jesus, when he saved you, not only saved you for eternity, but he saved you from this world. By the way, I believe the scripture's true is that friendship with this world is enmity with God. You're separated from God when you're a friend of the world. Now, I believe you'd be friendly, but not friendship. That's a different word. It's like fellowship. It's an entering into a covenant. Friendship is entering into a covenant, that part of the ship. Of the word is that. And so when we look at what Paul's saying, he's saying that Christ has brought us out of this world. Christ, we have to live in this world, but thank God we're separated from this world. What separates us from the lost people? Jesus Christ. Not that we're good looking people, because we'd all be in trouble. Amen. What separates us from the world is that we serve God, and God is our Father because of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, and me accepting what He did in my place allows me to be a child of God. Hallelujah. Now notice, by the way, I'm going to go ahead and apologize. Before service, I had to take some medicine. I told my son, I said, go get me a water, go get me a drink. He brought me back a Mountain Dew, so I had to drink it. I took the medicine and noticed that it had caffeine in it too. So, if I run around, just somebody stop me when it's time to go home, okay? But notice what he says here. He says, verse 4 again, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God, our Father. Now notice what he says. He says, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel. Now, could you imagine when they started reading this letter and they're going, oh man, this is good. Paul sent us this letter and he sent it around to the churches of Galatia. And they're reading this letter and he's affirming his apostleship. He's encouraging them by saying, grace be unto you. They're like, oh man, this is great. Keep reading. And then they read verse 6. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Uh-oh, this letter ain't going good no more. They're like, well, we're doing good, we're fine. And then all of a sudden Paul sends this letter and they begin to read this letter and go, boy, Paul's writing this to encourage us, but wait a minute, he's done found out. We've allowed some things to creep into our churches that shouldn't be there, and Paul's writing to correct them. Isn't that amazing? They probably thought, oh, we're fine. Now, we're not what we were when Paul was here 4 or 5 years ago, but we're okay. Our church is growing. We're doing fine. Paul says, no, you're not. You're doing it the wrong way. You're going about it the wrong way. You perverted the gospel, he says. Now notice what he said. He says, which is not another gospel. Now notice he says, but be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Verse 9, and we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. He says it twice. By the way, he says it's not another gospel. It's not a gospel. There's only one gospel, by the way. There's one gospel through the whole entire Word of God, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's not a gospel of Paul. There's not a gospel of Timothy. There's not a gospel of Barnabas. There is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says it throughout the Bible. Well, what happened, and we'll look at that here in a second, is what began to happen is that they began to allow some things in the church after Paul left, and what happened is that they come in and they brought their ideology, they brought in humanism, and guess what happened? They were trying to take them back to the law and keep them out of grace. We see that in our world today, don't we? And I'll preach on this subject in just a little bit after I get through kind of giving you some background here, but check your feet. We'll preach on that subject. Kind of put a little hook there, right? You're like, what in the world? But well, let's pray and then we'll look at some things. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word. Thank you that it's powerful and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, thank you that we can preach it. And Lord, it won't be Michael Wiggins that gets the glory. It'll be you because this is your word. And Father, I lay myself on your altar tonight and ask that you would just use me according to thy will. Let the Holy Spirit speak through me. And God, that I might be an encouragement tonight. And Lord, may your word be a challenge to us tonight and convict our hearts. Now, Father, we ask that you'd bless now and guide and direct. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Now we'll throw up a map here on the screen because I want you to notice that this is Paul's second missionary journey. If you notice that when you come around Syria there, you go up into Galatia. Notice the mountain ranges are on the north side of Galatia there. Galatia was broke up into two categories. It was broke up into northern and southern. Matter of fact, what broke those two up was the languages that they spoke. The Celtic people came in there, and basically there was two different people. There was the Gaul people, I have to look at this. They migrated from Europe into Galatia after the fighting. They fled their homeland, came into there, and then also the Greeks. As a matter of fact, we'll look here in a little bit. Remember, Timothy was called out of Galatia, out of Iconia, or out of Lystra, and his father was a Greek, okay? So they were there. But if you notice where it says Galatia there, look at the bottom part, you'll see Lystra, Iconium, and all those places there that you're familiar with. If you look in Acts chapter 16, that's where Paul was preaching in those areas, and Derbe's right in there around Iconium. And this is where this is written to, and mainly the southern part, because if you read in Acts chapter 16, Paul was going to try to go to the top part of Galatia, which is called the Kingdom of Galatia. It's kind of grouped them together. And what was going to happen is that Paul preached in Derbe, Iconium, and Lystra, and he was going to go north and preach, but the Holy Spirit said, I forbid you to go up into this land. There was the Holy Spirit said, it's not time. These people were not ready for the gospel, apparently, at that time. And so Paul preached in the southern region and the central region, which is called if you noticed Galatia coming down there, it is called the Asia Peninsula and of course it was a Roman province at that time too. And so as you notice, see kind of where he's at. He's preaching. This letter goes to all those churches there that he began to start in Iconium, Lystra, and Derbe there. And you can see that in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 through 8. And so, that's good, guys. Thank you for that. I just want to kind of give you a picture of that. So Paul's on his second missionary journey. He's coming around. And, of course, we understand that Paul is writing to them. And here's, I wrote this down. It said, the Jewish teachers, about 4 or 5 years after Paul started the churches, came in and undermined Paul's teachings. They exalted the works of the law and dismissed the works of grace. In other words, what happened, the churches were established by Paul and by Timothy. and strengthened by Timothy and Paul. And what happened is that they were founded on the right foundation. In other words, he says, how soon are you removed from the gospel that I preached unto you? He said, you remember that gospel I preached? As a matter of fact, he's specific in what he says. In verse 6, he says that you're so soon removed from what? From him that called you what? To the grace of Christ. He said, I preach grace unto you. But what happened is that they allowed the Judaizers, the Jewish people, the Jewish teachers, the people that knew more than everybody else. We don't have those in the world today, do we? Well, y'all say it's by grace, but that's too easy. Now, I've been reading the Greek and Hebrew, and I speak 17 different languages, and I have 6 PhD degrees and all this, and that's wonderful, but here's the thing, is that you can come in with your ideology and come back in. They were trying to go back to the law. They came in and said, now wait a minute, y'all are not doing this and y'all are not doing this. And they're like, well, we're under grace and we're trying it and we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. And Paul began to build these churches all upon the foundation of Christ. And what happened is that they allowed people to come in. Matter of fact, the Bible says in the book of Timothy, I believe it is, that some people have crept in unawares. That happens in churches. Happens all over. And what happens is that sometimes they're the ones that have the loudest voice in the church, and they're like, well, y'all say y'all believe this, but have you ever thought about this? And boy, if they can get you thinking about something else. When the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons come to your front door, that's what they want you to do. When Jehovah's Witness comes to your front door, he's going to believe in the King James Bible. He believes Jesus Christ is Jesus Christ in a certain way, and it'll trick you if you're not careful. But I promise you, they don't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And they don't believe Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He's going to pull out his little watchtower for you if he's a JW. If he's a Mormon, he's going to pull out the Book of Mormon on you and say, but this is the revelation and adding things to it. And they'll give you just enough to make you think that they're on your side and that you and them are on the same page. But they begin to come in with this humanism, this ideology of flesh and not of the Spirit and not of the Word of God. And that's what began to happen at the churches there in Galatia, is that all of this ideology and all these things begin to be a part of the churches there, and they begin to go back into the law and say, yes, it's grace plus the law, which is called legalism. By the way, that's happening in America today. And we have to be careful with that. And, you know, of course, we know that Galatia is modern-day Turkey today, and we see a lot of the damaging effects of what happened during this time. You go in modern-day Turkey, there's not churches on every corner. Why? Because they allow things to creep into these churches and destroy them. And all, as a matter of fact, it happens in America today. We can pick on Turkey, but even though we have churches on every corner, doesn't mean they're churches. Just because they say such and such church doesn't mean they're a church. And if we're not careful, we can become that way when we allow things to come in. I never forget, as a child, in my mom's house or in my grandmother's house, there was something that was always said before you walked into the house. Michael, check your feet. Y'all remember those days? You know? Now, I was too lazy to take my shoes off, but I'd be out there for 6 hours doing this. Anybody remember the hard green rugs? You didn't walk on them barefooted, but once, right? You know? And you'd just about get your foot in the door, and mama or grandmother would holler out, check your feet. What do we do? Why? Because they didn't want you tracking stuff from the outside in the inside. And I believe that in our church age that we're living in, the day of grace that we're living in, that we as God's people need to check our feet before we come into the house of God. We need to check our feet, moms and dad, before we go to our home. Joshua said, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. In other words, Joshua said, every time I walk into my house, I'm going to check my feet and make sure I'm not tracking the things of the world into my home. Some of you have to work in the world. Some of you have to deal with these people on a daily basis. And sometimes we just have to get our feet washed and cleanse our feet before we come into our homes and to the church. By the way, is church a great place to come and to clean up? Sure it is. But you know what? You can do it before you get in here too. You know how we're going to have revival? It's when God's people, before they come in the house of God, they're ready for church. Instead of taking 2 or 3 sermons to get you and me where I need to be, we should be where we need to be before we come in and say, God, my plate's clean. I want you to fill it with what you have. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness, the Bible says, Matthew chapter 5, they shall be filled. And I want to come with a hunger for God's Word and for God's will. And I want my plate to be clean when I come into the house of God and say, Lord, hey, I don't want God to have to spend a whole service trying to clean me up. Amen. Wouldn't it be good if we came to church and said, oh, yep, we're good. We have dogs in the backyard. Or did have dogs. Now we have a dog. We had to get one up for adoption. A little sad day. But before the kids come in that back door, what do you tell them? Check your feet. You know what happens when you don't tell them to check your feet? They get in the house, you go. Then what do you say? All right, everybody check your feet. Because this house is beginning to smell. You know what happens when you have light-colored carpets? You track that mud in from Texas, amen? And it's funny because me and Brother Latta would go back here in the back and work, and if it's rained a little bit, that mud is so thick back there. Well, I'm a redneck, so one day we were going to the back, and Brother Latta had some new boots on, and I was like, you're not going to cover those? He's like, what are you talking about? When I go to the back, if Miss Erin knows what I'm talking about, she's seen me do it before. I take a trash bag, I put it on my boots, and I take duct tape and I wrap it around there. And I go back there and I look like a pest control guy. But you know what happened? Is that whenever I got back up here, I just tear it off. My feet are clean. Walk into the church. Poor Brother Latta had to spend 20 minutes getting that mud out of his shoe. By the way, sometimes it can get up in the crevices, and sometimes you can do this all you want, but sometimes it needs that deep cleaning. And in our lives, we must be careful. And what happened at Galatia was they began to track things from the world into the church and begin to, hey, maybe you didn't notice it at first. Maybe that first time they walked in with dirty feet, nobody noticed, nobody smelt it. Know what I'm saying? Nobody, matter of fact, Jesus said it. He wants His church to be a sweet-smelling savor unto Him, and our prayers a sweet-smelling savor to Him. But when sin gets into the church and when sin gets in our life, we begin to smell and we begin to track things into the church, and that's how... I'm getting ahead of myself. Number one. It causes dysfunction in the church. Dysfunction in the church. You read the book of Galatians, in which I'm not going to do that tonight. The pastor's preaching on it. You know what happens when you get to reading the book of Galatians? You realize that there was some dysfunction going on. It was not functioning the way it was supposed to. You take somebody's heart, and I know Miss Angela's had this problem. You know, she has to have a pacemaker put in. But when that heart's not functioning the way it is, it's dysfunction, right? And so you have to put a pacemaker in there. You have to take pills to help that heart, or put a stent in, or have bypass surgery to get that heart functioning the way that it was meant to function. And I remember when my stepdad had to go in, he had a heart attack. He had to go in. He had a lot of blockages in his main arteries going into his heart. And guess what? His heart was only functioning at like 35% or something like that. In other words, it was not doing what it was intended to do. And so when that happens, you have to do something to help it out. By the way, when the church is not functioning the way it is, something's crept in. A bunch of spiritual people in the house of God and a bunch of clean people in the house of God are not going to cause dysfunction in the church. It's going to be hammering on all eight cylinders. You ever been in your car? Mash that gas like... That don't sound right. You realize you ain't got the power that you need? I changed spark plugs in my vehicle one time. And I was out there and I changed those spark plugs. Man, I stood back. I was like, hallelujah. I did my first tune-up. Got in there and cranked that thing up. It crunked up. Hallelujah. Started going down the road, realized, man, I ain't got no power. Man, this is horrible. This thing, I got the wrong spark plugs. I did something wrong. Boy, I'm trying to go down the road. It's just horrible sounding. Then I realized I forgot to put one of the spark plug wires on the spark plug. Well, guess what? I didn't have all my cylinders working, and it did take me long to realize that I didn't have the power that I needed, and I didn't have the power that the vehicle was intended to have, and it did take me long to realize. By the way, you know why the world's encompassing? You know why worldly things are happening in our world? It's because the church is only with four cylinders. And God said, I want you to be an eight cylinder. We're only at four cylinders, and we're trying to do the best we can, and we're trying to go uphill, but we're just going... Remember no more Model T's? You know, I never, my neighbor built one of those things, and And boy, he cranked that thing up and get going when he first got it. It was, you could hear him going down the road. And I was thinking, that's what the church sounds like instead of a nice Z71. Amen. Going down the road with dual exhaust. Hallelujah. But listen to me, the church at Galatia, they started tracking in things from the world. And what began to happen is that they changed their doctrine because they allowed the things of the world. By the way, I understand we let lost people come in our church, don't we? Matter of fact, I hope they do come because that's what we're here for. But as a child of God, we're to leave the world out there. And we must be careful tracking things into the church because it causes dysfunction. Number two, it causes disharmony in the church. You know what began to happen in Galatia? Churches begin to fight. You know why they were fighting? Because it's by grace only in Jesus Christ. No, it's not. It's by grace plus the law. You got to keep the law. No, it's by... They begin to have disharmony in the church. Why? Because they tracked in the things from the world and they didn't check their feet. And you know what I'm saying by checking their feet? I'm saying the heart. They allowed things to get into their lives and they began to see disharmony in the churches. I know we've never seen that in this world. Churches that are not in harmony. I don't know how many churches I've been in where this side's ready to fight this side. I've been in churches where this side's ready to fight this side. A man stood up in service one time, accused me of something, and I didn't know how to react to it, but call him a liar. So I did. He was a deacon. That went over really well. That was Sunday morning. Sunday night, I prayed. What happened is that he was a worldly man, and basically, he was a Sunday school teacher and blah, blah, anyway. So I wrote him a letter telling him I was praying for him, wanted to help him. And he read the letter in his Sunday school class Sunday morning and read it the way he wanted to read it. Uh-huh, he did. Well, Sunday morning, I'm ready to preach. I'm excited and people are shunning me. People are giving me the eye. I'm going, I make sure that nothing, I was like, my clothes ripped. I don't know what's going on. I put deodorant on. People begin to shun me. After church, people wouldn't shake my hand going out the back door. People would look at me and just shake their head because they believed this guy that had allowed himself to get out into the world. And some things happened there. So Sunday night, I got up and I read. And we had a guy in our church at that time. He was about 7 foot tall and about 350 pounds. And I got up there that night, and I said, I realized what happened after church. Of course, I got 6,000 phone calls. And so that night, I got up, and I read the letter. I wrote the letter because I knew the guy was going to lie. So I wrote the letter so I could have proof. I read the letter, and everybody's like, that's not what he read to us. It's like, exactly. Well, this big guy stands up, and I'm going, uh-oh. We didn't have no back door. All we had was the baptistry. And I was thinking, I think I can clear it and make a door. And I'm telling you what, he stood up and he says, Pastor, I believe you. And he came up to the platform, and I was still shaking. And he hugged me. He said, the rest of us need to get behind our pastor. You know what happened for one Sunday morning? Disharmony. Nobody came to the altar. Everybody left. That Sunday night we had revival. Why? Because there was harmony again. Because somebody had tracked some things in from the world. Well, what began to happen in Galatia is that they tracked some things in. It caused disharmony amongst the church. We must be careful. We want to know why there's fighting and bickering in the church. It's because we need to check our feet. Usually, whenever you have a problem with somebody, usually it's me that's the problem. Amen? It's like, well, they did this, they did this, they did this. And wait a minute. Paul said, well, wait a minute. How soon have you been removed? The church of Galatia probably thought, man, we're doing so good. And Paul writes them this letter. They go, well, maybe we're not doing so good. Maybe we're wondering why there's discontentment and disheartenment and all this disharmony in the church. And that's why, because they allowed the Jewish people to come in and to preach another gospel. And listen to me tonight, is that there are churches all over America that used to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, and now they no longer do that. Why? Because they allowed somebody from the outside world to come in and say, well, if you'll do this, the church will grow. If you'll do this, the people will come. But I'm telling you that it is the gospel that builds churches. It is the gospel that continues to build churches, and it is the gospel that will continue to build churches. I'm telling you, folks, we can't allow people to come in, and that's what's so dangerous today about reading some of these books by these people. Because some people read these books and go, oh, well, our pastor's never talked about that. Well, that sounds interesting. Whenever I die, I get wings, and I can fly all over the world. I'm telling you, you start reading some of these stuff. I'm telling you, be careful. By the way, sometimes it ain't necessarily the world out here you got to worry about. Sometimes it's the preachers in the world. All you got to do is just be happy. All you got to do is just smile. Sometimes, if you want to be happy, just smile. I'm telling you, that's what the... Do you believe in sin? No. Some people just aren't as good as others. You know what I'm talking about? Well, could you tell us what sin is? Well, let's talk about the good and the love. You know what I'm talking about? Amen. I'm not talking about Brother Eric Crawford either. That's definitely not him. I'm telling you, is that we've allowed these things, and I'm not picking on anybody, because this happened in independent Baptist churches. We must be careful that we stay with the gospel. It's the gospel that builds our lives. It's the gospel that saves our lives. It is the gospel that's going to get us through this world. Listen, it is Jesus Christ, plus nothing, minus nothing. But they had come in and said, yeah, it's Jesus plus this. Can I say to you, take off the plus, take off the minus, and just take Jesus. Because He is enough. He's more than enough. The last thing, there was not only dysfunction, disharmony, but there was disablement in this church. And let me explain this. What does that mean? Well, when there's dysfunction, when there's disharmony, when there's things that are tracked into the church, then there's a disablement of what? There's a disablement of the Holy Spirit to be able to work. I've been in services before where, matter of fact, I can give you a church that said, hey, I want you to come in and preach a revival for us. Our church is just in a mess right now. There's a lot of things going on. I'm going, why do they want me to come up there? Well, I get there and I preach my heart out and I'm praying. I mean, I'm preaching, I'm praying. And it's like preaching to trees. I mean, it ain't even a holy grunt anywhere. There ain't even a kid that cries in that church. And boy, I'll get done with that church, and the pastor come up to me, and I had this happen to me in Louisiana one time. I was preaching a revival meeting. Pastor come up to me after church. He said, well, that was the last shot. I thought you'd come in, and we'd have a revival, and I'd stay. But he said, I'm telling you what, there's so many problems in this church. I said, you ain't lying. I mean, I was there 4 days. Didn't talk to hardly any of the church members and realized that there was something wrong with that church. Because whenever you preach from the Word of God, the Holy Spirit didn't have liberty. The Holy Spirit was quenched. He was disabled. What happened in the church of Galatia is that the Holy Spirit began to... Remember what I said in Acts chapter 16? Remember the Holy Spirit said, Paul, I forbid you to go up there. Sometimes He says, no, I can't work there. I'm not going to work there. And by the way, we want the Holy Spirit to work in our services, don't we? I want the Holy Spirit to have liberty in here. Hey, listen, the Holy Spirit shouldn't have to spend all of His time on the Christians. Maybe the Holy Spirit just needs to deal with lost people. And if we clean our feet before we get in the church, maybe the Holy Spirit... Now, I know He can deal with all of us at one time. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, wouldn't it be good that if we were in the right place to say, you know what I do? And I'm not bragging on myself, but... When the altar call is given, usually a lot of times right there, I'll go, Lord, I'm an idiot again. And Lord, I messed up again. Forgive me. And then you know what I do? I look up here at the altar. And I see somebody I don't know, and I don't know their name. But I start praying for them. Lord, I don't know who that is down there, but You do. And Lord, I don't know if they're coming to get saved or if they're coming to get right. And I start praying, God, would you let the Holy Spirit just kind of go by and work on that heart? Whew. I want him to be able to work. I want the Holy Spirit not to be disabled, right? I drive down 820 and 35 Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays going to the school. And guess what I see a lot? A lot of disabled cars. You don't go far on 820 until you're going to see a car, a truck, or this vehicle, and it's got the little sticker on there from the cops that says it's been here too long, we're fixing to tow it. It's a disabled vehicle. What does a disabled vehicle do? It has no purpose. It lost its purpose. When it's disabled, it lost its purpose. And the church needs to be an enablement place for the Holy Spirit to come and to minister to people. Listen, there's people that come to church here every Sunday, every Wednesday night that are hurting, and they need the Holy Spirit to work. We have people here that maybe are dealing with suicidal thoughts. Maybe they're dealing with depression. Maybe they're dealing with marital problems. And when we come in and we're tracking things into the church, we're causing disharmony and discontentment in the church and all this. We need to be careful. We need to clean up before we come in. Every time I walk in the door, I hear Mama, check your feet. My grandmother had white carpet in her house. That carpet's been in that house as long as I've been alive. My grandmother's no longer living, but my aunt and uncle live there. Can I tell you that carpet's no longer white? It's a gray color. Yummy, yummy. You know what that's from? Too much of the outside getting in on the inside. If you look at this floor long enough, I don't want you to do that right now, but there's a little dirt from the outside in here. You know why? Because a lot of us didn't clean our feet when we came in. Y'all remember the first week we had this carpet in here? It looked good, didn't it? That's pretty carpet. Yeah, it's been a little while now, hasn't it? Been a few people not checked their feet coming in. Been some people that didn't put plastic bags over their feet. Amen? We need to check our feet. Folks, I'm telling you now, can you come here and be so broken and hurting and come here and get clean? Sure you can. I'm just saying that we ought to do it before we come, if we can. I think before we come in the door, we ought to go. Now, some of y'all are going to do that next Sunday. I can see it already. I hope you understand what I'm saying. The church at Galatia, the reason that Paul wrote to them was because why? They tracked things into the church. Paul would have never had to write this letter the way he did if they hadn't tracked things into the church. Let's be careful. Let's clean our feet up. Clean our hearts. James said this, cleanse your hands, you sinners. Cleanse your heart. Don't let things in here, bitterness, the root of bitterness can grow quick. Whatever it is in our life, we must let it go. Remember what Jesus told the disciples? Whenever he was preparing them to go out, and he said, I'm giving you power over to heal and over the demons and all these things. He said, I want you to go out. He says, but if they don't receive you, he says, when you go out of their house, knock the dust off your feet. And he says, that's going to be a testimony against them. You know what one of the last things you see Jesus doing to the disciples? Washing their feet. You know what Jesus said in the book of Romans about feet? He said, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. The gospel. Folks, I'll tell you what. I want my feet to be clean. And by the way, Jesus will wash your feet. Jesus will cleanse your heart. He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ever realize whenever you start stepping in mud, the more you step on it, the more you get on your feet? The more and the more and the more. And you know what you do if you're like me? I get too lazy to clean them. I'm just like, I'll throw them away. I get that way if it's an old pair. Obviously not a new pair. I won't get them dirty. You know how we are with a new pair of shoes, right? We're walking out the parking lot like this. We get in the car, we're wiping them off. The longer you wear them, the less you care about it. When you're first saved, every sin bothered you. The longer you're saved, you're like, well, maybe it's not that bad. Not as bad as Brother John. Not as bad as Michael Wiggins is. We let it go, we let it go. We must be careful. Check your feet. Let's stand tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you for loving us. And Lord, tonight I realize that, Lord, this message pointed back to me. But Lord, I pray, God, as we continue on at this church, and Lord, I believe we have one of the greatest churches in this world. But God, help us to check our feet before we come. And Lord, may we come with a spirit of worship and a spirit of servant, of a servant. And Father, I just pray that you would help us to come clean, that we may come, and that the Holy Spirit would have liberty, that it would not be quenched, and Lord, that he would be allowed to work in the midst of us and in our hearts and in others' hearts. And Father, help us to see revival. And Lord, I certainly draw the circle around me. And God, I ask that you'd help me. And so, Father, I ask that you'd help us tonight as we have this time of invitation. Bless in Jesus' precious name. Amen. As we begin to sing, we're going to sing hymn 534, Cleanse Me. Why don't you come tonight? Just get clean. Maybe you need to come and clean your feet. Sir.